2 Kings, chapter 20. At this time, and this is the time when Judah has been invaded by the Assyrians, Jerusalem has been surrounded by Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, and then Hezekiah and Isaiah, they turn to God desperately, and then one angel goes out and kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. It was an amazing salvation, but it was pretty worrying and scary in the time before that, when they were surrounded by their enemies, and it looked like there was no way they were going to be saved. Well, at this time, or about this time, King Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah came to see him and said to him, "The Lord tells you that you are to put your house in order, because you are not going to recover, you are going to die." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, "Remember, Lord, how I have served you faithfully and in truth, and that I have always tried to do what you wished me to do." And he cried very bitterly. Now, we're going to read that that prayer was answered. But you see, God had come to him through Isaiah and said, "Put your house in order. You are not going to get better. You will die and not live." But actually, he did get better, and he was given another 15 years to live. And it reminds me of how Jonah was sent to Nineveh and said, "In 40 days, God is going to destroy this city." But he didn't destroy it in 40 days because they changed. So it seems to me that God says a certain judgment on a person. He says, "This is going to happen." But then there's a gap between him saying that and it being fulfilled. And Jeremiah talks about that and says that if God pronounces some judgment upon a nation, if that nation repents, then that judgment will not come. So we live, as it were, in the gap between God having said, "You will surely die," and us actually dying. And in that time, we can repent. We have all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But we can change that. And this is why life has got to be serious.
We have all fallen short of the glory of God.
That's right. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Absolutely right. Well done. So, we therefore can change the outcomes if it's God's will. And so, you know, God may give somebody a sickness unto death, but with prayer, not just by them, but by other people, maybe there can be a different outcome. And yet what we're going to see here is that actually Hezekiah kind of turned away from God in the 15 years he was given. And it would have almost been better for him to have died when he did, because then he would have been resurrected and given a place in God's kingdom. Whereas in the 15 years that he had, it seems he turned away from God and he raised an awful son called Manasseh, who was one of the most evil kings that Judah ever had. Anyway, Isaiah left the king, but before he'd gone out of the kind of courtyard in the palace, the Lord told him to return to Hezekiah and tell him, "I, Yahweh, the God of your father David, have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. And in 3 days' time, you're going to go up to the temple, and you will live another 15 years longer, and I will save you and Jerusalem from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for the sake of David, my servant, and in honour of my promises to him." Isaiah told the king's servants to put on his boil, it seems he had a big lump that came up, a kind of plaster made of figs. Now, I don't think that that plaster made him get well. I think it was to kind of give Hezekiah something physical to focus on, because his faith wasn't perfect. Because King Hezekiah now asks, "And what is the sign to prove that God is going to heal me, and that in 3 days' time I will really go up to the temple?" Isaiah replied, "The Lord will give you a sign as you have asked. Would you prefer the shadow on the sundial to go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps. And in those days, they didn't have clocks and watches like we have, but they had a sundial. That was like a kind of a stairway that was just sort of built there with steps on it in the open sunlight. And you could sort of work out what time it was by how many steps the shadow was on. And so God says, do you want the shadow to go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? Hezekiah replied, it's easy for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, make it return 10 steps. Well, I always feel that was a bit of an ungrateful thing for him to say. Well, it's pretty easy to make it go forward 10 steps. I mean, this was a miracle, and God made the sun or whatever change its sunlight by 10 steps to go forward or backward. It was not an easy thing to do. If this happened in a literal sense and the sun's position did move, a jolt forward or jolt backward, well, that means not only the sun moved, but all the cosmos, all the planets, all the solar system, everything, all because God wanted to give a man of weak faith a sign. Absolutely amazing. So Isaiah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps on the stairway on the sundial of King Ahaz. Absolutely amazing. It's like the day when Joshua, in the battle at Ajalon, prayed that the sun might stand still to give him more time to fight the Lord's battles that day. And it says there in Joshua that there was never a day like it when God listened to the voice of a man. And the whole of the solar system was, as it were, jolted forward or backwards a bit because a man prayed. A little, tiny little human being like a little ant here on the planet prays to God, and he did all that. It's the same here. So God is for real, and he really does answer prayer. But about that time, the king of Babylon heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and he sent him a present. And he sent him messengers whom Hezekiah welcomed and paraded to them, showed off to them all his wealth, all the silver, gold, perfume, spices, military equipment that was in his storerooms, because all the nations around Judah had sent him these presents after Assyria had been defeated. And he showed off to them all his storehouses that he had. Then the prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah and asked him, where did these men come from and what did they say? Hezekiah replied, they came from a very far country, from Babylon, as if to say, I'm so important. People came all the way from Babylon to see me. And what did they see in your house? Isaiah asked. Hezekiah replied, I showed them everything. There was nothing in all my store places that I did not show them. He showed off everything. Then Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, the Lord God Almighty says that the day will come when everything in your palace, everything that your fathers have saved and stored up, will be taken off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, and some of your own children will be taken away and made servants to serve in the palace of the king of Babylon. King Hezekiah simply said, it is good that there will be peace and truth in my days. And so he said, the message that you've given me from God is good. And so Hezekiah died, and his son Manasseh reigned in his place. Well, I take that to mean that he thought, oh, well, I'm okay. I've got 15 years, and God has said it's sort of going to be okay in those 15 years for me. Well, okay, so what? Let's just enjoy it while I've got it. Really sad. And you see there a man who had previously such great faith and such great devotion to God messes up, all because of his love of material things and especially pride. So pride and wealth tend to go together. That's why Jesus said it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we've really got to learn the lesson and not be lifted up with pride and not seek wealth and glory in this world. Because really, Hezekiah, as I see it, lost his place in the kingdom. He would have been better to die young or younger.